we can tell folks we don't feel good. We can tell folks where it hurts, but those children can't. You just have to really know them and know that something is different. In fact, if they're hurt or anything, like it is with Kevin. I mean, he can't tell us that he's stuffy. He can't tell us that his stomach hurts or he's got a toothache or anything like that. So I do believe that God just kind of especially takes care of those children, and not only the children, but those people, adults, that are not able to communicate or converse. And I just think God just has little special angels to take care of them. And they are angels. They are angels. Kevin celebrated his 40th birthday this week. And just looking at those things, you know, we got some pictures together for them to put on that collage and just kind of reminiscing about the different stages that Kevin went through and the times he was in and out of the hospital just made us know that he was a miracle. In fact, Karen got him a shirt that said miracle. Lordy, Kevin's 40, miracle, or something, you know. And I keep thinking back because the doctors, even when he was able to get out of the Eggleston Hospital, they said, you know, just be prepared that children with that severe problems very rarely reach the age of 5 or 6, I think is what they told us, so be prepared. So, you know, we were kind of holding our breath when 5 or 6 got there, but, you know, 6 turned to 7, 7 to 8, and now he's 40 years old, and Kevin's doing well, so we give the Lord praise for that. Isn't God good? He's just so good, amen? Praise God. We just appreciate the prayers. Go with us tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, and you don't have to stand because I'm going to read it in its entirety, and I think probably... you know, this particular scripture has been adopted by many, many couples as they prepare for their wedding. I have been requested to read this or excerpts from it on a number of weddings, and I think it's quite appropriate, and it's often called the love chapter, and it's the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul here is writing about the importance of love. And, you know, love is a word that we just kind of throw around. And I'm talking about not just church folks, but everybody. You know, we use that word so much sometimes that it seems to, in many, many cases, kind of lose its importance or the real, real meaning of love. And love, when we say we love somebody, we better know what we're saying. Or when we say, I love Jesus, and we better understand and know what we're talking about, because love, the Bible tells us that God is love, and you can't separate the two. If you've got God in your life, you're going to love. And the thing about love, you don't only just love those who love you back. That's the easy part. But the Bible talks about love those that despitefully use you, love your enemies, you know, and to love those that mistreat you. And that sometimes that's difficult. But if we got Christ within us, then we need to understand that we can love. And love is great. You know, at Valentine's Day, people share that love. Sometimes maybe husbands who don't use that word a whole lot will maybe buy a Valentine card with a love on it. So I went and I put a lot of thought time and effort into picking out the right card, and I'd read 2 or 3, and that ain't me. And you know, if you're ever looking for a card, one, finally you get it, and that's me. That's what I want to say, you know. And so I got that and give Penny's little Valentine gift to her, and she got me the gift. But I was out in the yard when she came. She went down to the office today. So when she got back, she comes out with this really big smile on it and on her face, and I knew she had found her card and her Valentine's gift, and she had that, you know, thank you, and she hugged my neck, and she said, I didn't get you a card. I said, oh, baby, that's all right. Yeah, you don't have to get me a card, you know, that macho thing. I ain't got to have no little fancy card, you know, baby. Just having you around, that's good enough for me. You know, I don't need a card with your love and all on it, and I was sincere. You know, you don't have to get me a card, you know. I know she likes cards. And she said, well, I didn't get you a card because, you know, you just usually throw them away. I said, well, you know, you can keep them once they've said what they need to say. And I still was feeling pretty good. And then she comes, she said, well, the real reason I can get you one, those cards are gone up. She said, cheapest one I could find was $5. And I said, whoa. She shouldn't have said that. I was feeling fine. Till she said, well, the cheapest one I could find was $5. And I said, baby, you don't think I'm worth $5? You know? Well, that's not the point. I just don't think they're... And then she looked and saw what I paid for the one I got with her. I said, well, that's different, baby. You need a car. But anyway, I forgave her. I forgave her. But you know what? Love is something that's more than just one day a year. Love is... In fact, we're going to read the scripture tonight and kind of go through this. And I don't intend to keep you very long. First of all, I want to really appreciate you for coming out on a cold or damp winter's night on a Wednesday. I know that's not the easiest thing to do, but you put forth the effort and you came, not because of me, not because of anything else, but because that you love the Lord. And I appreciate the effort and the sacrifice that you made. But I want to talk about the importance of love tonight. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the Apostle Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Brother Thomas, could you come up here and help us out a little bit? There's some tinkling cymbals back there, ain't there? And so we don't have a sounding brass, but just kind of bang a little bit just on that cymbal. And, you know, the cymbal... Just continually do it to where it becomes obnoxious. Gets on your nerves. Okay, that's good. That don't take much of that. Now, with the rest of those drums, it sounds good. But that continuing tinkling of the cymbal or the sounding of the brass could get on your nerves, couldn't it? And the Apostle Paul says, just being able to speak that you love someone can become as a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. In other words, it can get to a place where it absolutely becomes annoying. Thank you, Brother Thomas. You did a wonderful job. And didn't take us long to get tired of that. But hearing that over and over and over without depth, without meaning. And let's think about God. If our appreciation and our love and our admiration becomes as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal in the ears of God. And you said, really, how would that ever happen? If it's not with true meaning, if it's not with sincerity and depth of love. In fact, after reading this particular passage of Scripture, I want to be a little careful about just throwing the word love around. You know, I've used the word love with food, with certain, you know, oh, I love that. In fact, those steaks the other night, man, I love them steaks, you know. But sometimes that's a tinkling cymbal or sounding brass, you know, because it wasn't emotion that was involved with them steaks. It was gluttony, wasn't it? It was satisfying the flesh. And I've heard people, oh, I love to go shopping, you know. And I know people do really love to go shopping, I guess, but it's not a really an emotional thing. It's the taking care of a need. But here it talks about the love, you know, and when it mentions charity, that's basically what it's talking about is love. And it's talking about being sincere in our love. And here's what it gets to. You know, when you shake someone's hand and you hug their neck and you tell them, I love you, it's better that you have not said that if you don't mean it. It really is. You know, you can hug their neck and you can shake their hand, whatever, but if you've got animosity, if you've got something in you that's drawing you apart, you know, what you're doing is bing, 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 bing. I know that sounds a little blunt, but if you're not hugging somebody's neck and telling them, I love you, from your heart and from depth, you're becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just telling them something that they might want to hear, or you're telling them something that might make you feel good. But now when you hook somebody's neck, you really do love them. You know, you say it, you say it with more sincerity. You say it with, and no, we do. We love one another. But that's not the case everywhere. You know, there's people that go through the motions. There's people that speak it, but they're not sincere about it. So the Apostle Paul says, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men, and when I think about that, I speak, you know, somebody that is so eloquent with their speech and says all the right things and the accents are perfect and everything, but it's not sincere. It's almost superficial when they, you know, somebody giving you false accolades or bragging on you when they really don't mean it. And that's more in the business world and more in the everyday world. And certainly it shouldn't be in the church. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when there's a group of people, you know, there might be a tendency to become that sounding brass or that tinkling cymbal. Even of angels. But I have not charity. If you don't have the love to back it up, you become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Then it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy. What a wonderful gift that is. The Bible talks about desiring the gifts, desiring the best gifts and the ability to prophesy and to understand all mysteries, to be so intellectual and to have the knowledge and to be able to siphon out different things and know things and have discernment, but have not charity. If you don't have that love with all those other attributes, the Apostle Paul says, even and faith, and I mean, how many of us would love to have even more faith? And please don't ever make the statement, I don't have faith, because the Bible plainly tells us that every man, a woman too, is given a measure of faith. We do have faith. Now, do we exercise it? You know, that's like saying, I haven't got a muscle. Yeah, you got a muscle. You got several muscles, but do you exercise them? Do you exercise your faith? Do you let that grow? Do you use it on a daily basis? So it says, even though I have the gift of prophecy, the gift of understanding all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all of faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. What a statement. I mean, those are great gifts. Those are wonderful characteristics to have, though, you know, understanding all mysteries. I wish I knew more. I wish I had greater knowledge. I wish my faith was stronger. But if I had to choose between all of that and love, I got to choose love. Because the Bible says that's more important than all of these others. Not saying that those aren't important. They're very important. But the Bible here through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost speaking through him, says the most important of those, all those characteristics, is love, true love, real, sincere love. And a lot of people think that showing outward appearance or doing things makes them feel better. But, it, you know, really, if you bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You could give everything that you've got away to ease your conscience, even with good intentions, to help somebody. But if you do it without love, and that's a strong statement, but the Bible says if you do it without love, it is profiting you nothing. So it's not the amount of the gift. It's not how much you give. But it's with the feeling of genuine love that you bestow those gifts or those helps or whatever it is that you're doing for a brother or sister or even somebody that's not even in the church. It'll always a lot easier to help folks that you know or somebody that's in church, but to be able to help those who are in need and to love them. You know, a lot of times people that's what they're really looking for is love. You know, they may not tell you that. They may not act like that. But so many, many times when people are out like that and in the shape they're in, it's because they didn't get the love that they needed at home. And that's so important. And I know you know that in raising children is to not only love them, but teach them about love and teach them how to treat others and to above all things, to love God. Because I'm a firm believer that if you don't know how to love God, you don't know how to love your brother. I mean, if you really don't love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, as the psalmist David said, then how are you going to love your brother? So we need to love God. So we do all of these things, and if we do it without charity or without love, it profiteth me nothing. And then you get into the wonderful words here that Paul began to pen and put here that are used in so many weddings, and they're beautiful, and they're wonderful, and I know they're promised on a wonderful day. But you know what? After the wedding, after the honeymoon, come on, those words still need to be just as strong as they was and when they were promised on that day. And it says charity or love suffereth long. What does that mean? Anybody tonight? Charity suffereth long. Patience. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit says long suffering. It actually says it in reverse, but it means the same thing. Not necessarily when you love, you're going to suffer. But you are patient and you're long suffering. You're gentle. You're meek. You're easy to forgive. You know, what is one of the sayings? I forgot now what it's. I know it takes two to argue or something like that, you know. And knowing when, even when sometimes you know that you're right, knowing when to back off, and because you don't want to make the situation any worse. And you know, never, what is it, never go to bed with your spouse angry. Some of us would never get any sleep, but that would. But, you know, if we practice that, you know, there's something. It's long suffering, and that's what it's talking about. And not only just with our spouse, okay? I mean, love in the church, and God has instituted love. He, you know, Jesus Himself instituted, you know, conducted marriage, you know, the wedding, and He even, you know, alludes to the fact that He is the groom and the church is the bride, and we're supposed to have that unfeigned, undying, eternal love for Christ. And that's the way that we're supposed to love brother and sister. So charity, our love, is long-suffering, and it's kind. Practice kindness, even to those that may be unkind to us. Charity envieth not. You know, envy is something that I think a lot of people really get mixed up on what envying is. Somebody tell me what envy means to you when you read about the Bible, because the Bible is very explicit in telling us that we're not supposed to envy. Jealous? Well, here's the thing. A lot of people think just because Brother Jim got a brand new Cadillac, I can't say, Brother Jim, I'd love to have me a brand new Cadillac. That's not envying. What is envying is, Brother Jim don't deserve that brand new Cadillac. God should have given that to me. I want one, and I don't want him to have one. That's where envying comes in. It's more than just wanting to have something that like somebody else has got. It's wanting to have what somebody else has got and not wanting them to have it. And it's not only material things. Unfortunately, I've heard jealousy. Jealousy has gotten into the church. It's gotten into singing groups. It's gotten into ministries. It's gotten to an evangelist. It's gotten into a lot of things because, amen, we hadn't learned to prefer our brother. We hadn't learned to bless them and to help them and to encourage them. So, you know, charity envieth not. Our love has nothing to do with envy. Envy should not be in any part of our relationship or where love is involved. Charity vaunteth not itself. Okay? Boastful, proud, that kind of thing. Always patting ourselves on the back. Look what I have done. This kind of thing, you know. That can also, that also can, it didn't say it, but that can become a tinkling cymbal too. How many can testify to that? Don't you get tired of hearing that person is always talking about what they've done, what, you know, I have done this, I've done that, and I've, you know, and you're not taking away the fact that maybe they have accomplished a lot. You just get tired of that tinkling cymbal, ding, 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 ding. You know, every time you're around, look what I've done, ding, 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 ding. And you know, love doesn't do that way. Charity doesn't act that way. It vaunteth not itself. Let's skip that next part. Because I'm not sure about that. Love is not puffed up. What's your saying? Poochie lip. Poochie. Yeah. Brother Jim has used that term, and I've even copied that and used that lip too. How many of us have not, at some point in our life, gotten a little poochie lipped? Mm-hmm, yeah, old me. Get a little feelings hurt and get a little puffed up. And I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but it shouldn't affect our love. Amen. It shouldn't affect our love. We ought to be back up there long-suffering, you know, not vaunting ourselves and not puffed up. And here's the thing. Be like the puffer fish. He gets puffed up, but he don't stay that way, okay?
That's right.
How about that? Be ye puffed up and sin not. That ain't in the Bible. That's in Eddie said it. But don't quote me on that. But, you know, the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You're going to get a little puffed up. Just don't remain that way. Because I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me several times, you know. But it's hard. I guarantee if... Unless you get over it real quick, that anger can become real, real sinful, because you can talk yourself into, man, I have every right to be mad, you know. And, you know, I tell you what, repentance can come quickly after you lose your temper. I know I've told y'all about the telephone, and that back when I was living at home, and mother and him had the store, and I wanted to go somewhere or do something, and y'all remember the avocado green telephones that was to match the stove and refrigerator and all? They had one hanging on the end of the little bar there, with the long cord. You know, you could walk in the den and talk. You remember those things? You know, before cell phones and all. And she didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. She told me, "No, you can't go." And I said, "But mother, and everybody else is going to be there. I don't care. You're not going." "But mom, I don't hardly ever get to do anything." "No, you're not going." And she hung up the phone. And that Cain rose up in me. And I slammed that phone down on that. And boy, that as soon as I did, I know I had messed up. That avocado green phone went into a bunch of different pieces and all. And I began to repent. Lord have mercy, I began to repent. But... I was, you know, I had to face the music. I had to face the punishment too. Repenting is good, but you still have to face the music. Amen. You know, and best thing to do is just not be puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Behave. I thought mother invented that word. Behave. I heard that so many times over when I was growing up. You need to behave. You need to behave. Behave can be a good thing. Right? I always heard it in a negative tone. But, you know, you can say, well, he behaved really well. I didn't hear that much, but always, you misbehave. You better behave. That kind of thing. But love and charity does not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? It doesn't take advantage of situations. It doesn't, you know, make ourselves seem more than what we are or put people down. You know, a lot of people, in order to build themselves up, they like to put other people down and they act all pouty and unforgiving and have a chip on their shoulder and kind of things like that. That's not God's love. I mean, we all have situations. And see, that's a little commercial now. They have some of the stupidest commercials on television. This one is supposed to be George Washington crossing the Delaware, but he's crossing the Jersey Turnpike or something, you know, and he yells, "We all got places to go. We all got places to go," you know. Big man with a horn, you know. And I just crack up every time I see that, you know. But, you know, it makes me think of the, you know, WWJD on the bumper, or "I Love Jesus," and you fist pump out the window at somebody who just cut you off. You know, it kind of gives mixed signals, doesn't it? You know, "I love Jesus, but get out of my way," you know. Really, it does not behave itself unseemly. How about this next one? Seeketh not. Why did they put her there instead of his own? Seeketh not her own. Okay, what does that mean? Kind of goes back to self-recognition. And here's the thing about self-recognition. Self-recognition becomes self-righteousness. That's a tinkling cymbal. Somebody who is all this and that, and you know, but it's not seeking its own. In fact, it's more concerned of our brothers and sisters. So that's true love. And you know what? You can apply this to any relationship, not only just to God. To your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your parents, to the people that you work with. All of this works when you love. It may be different kinds of love, but the Bible says we're supposed to love everybody. Okay? So we can try. We can use these things in every relationship. It still holds true. So it seeks not its own. Oh, this one's very close to being not puffed up. Is not easily provoked. Somebody want to expand on that one? I don't know if I'm qualified. Is not easily provoked. Does not really fly off the handle. You know, out of control. You know, short fuse. Is that that's what it's called? Fly off the handle. What does that mean? Y'all ever heard that? Fly off the handle. That could be dangerous, couldn't it? When I think of flying off the handle, I'm thinking about the end of a hammer or an axe. And that's going to hurt somebody, ain't it? When we fly off the handle, probably somebody's going to get hurt. If not physically, then certainly emotionally or spiritual. So it is not easily provoked and certainly thinketh no evil. No evil. I wished he'd get what he had coming to him. And you know, we don't need to do that. We don't need to say that. You know, say, Father, forgive him, help him, you know, whatever, you know. Lord, make him like me. Make him sweet and gentle and understanding. Yeah. No, wait a minute. You got two mixed up there. You know, you're vaunting yourself and praying that thinking no evil of your brother. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Right. Love's not sin. How about that? That kind of puts it plain, doesn't it? But rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. Rejoiceth in the truth, the word of God. Charity almost never fails. Never? Love never fails. It always works. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall or they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then he goes on to say, this is one, this scripture is quoted a lot. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? When we mature in Christians, in the Christian walk with God, then we put away these childish, for whatever, the lack of idiosyncrasies, these little childish myths and different things that we have and things that cause separation or frustration, and we become more forgiving, we become more understanding. And in order to do that, we need to have love one for another. And you know what? I'm going to say something, because this is I've noticed this in a lot of folks, not necessarily in church, but a lot of people that I have met. And you know, I'm not being disrespectful at all. There's some people in bad shape out there. I'm talking emotionally. You know, really, really mixed up. And if you talk to somebody long enough, a lot of the underlying reason is that they don't know how to love themselves. They're not happy with themselves. They're not happy with their life. They desire to be something else or something that they're not. You know, when you understand. And I'm not saying, you know, love yourself because of who you are or vaunt yourself like that. But understand that God made you as it pleased him. Okay? And I'm a person to believe that I'm here now where God wants me to be. Okay? You know, it, and that always where I thought I wanted to be, or where, you know, in my life, or this, that, and the other. But if I truly believe that God has a purpose in my life, and if I believe that I'll put Him first, then God leads us and guides us and directs us and places us where He wants us to be. And the Apostle Paul himself said, in whatsoever state I am, he wasn't talking about the 50, he was talking about what condition I am, I will be content. And in order to be content, you got to love yourself. You know, you know what I'm talking about? You got to love your life. You got to love life. You got to love who you are and what you've got, whether you got $1 million or whether you don't have a dime to your name, but you still love yourself. Because I don't think you can be able to have a relationship with others if you're so down on yourself. And part of that is self-confidence. Part of that is just understanding who you are, knowing your limitations, being satisfied and confident in who you are. Everybody's not a brain surgeon. Jethro Bodine couldn't decide whether he wanted to be a brain surgeon or a soda jerk, but he was happy with whatever he wanted to do. You know, so we may not be a professional person, we may not be this or that, but in order to love ourselves, because God has chosen us to be where we are, and I think that is so important, especially when you're building relationships, and I really really believe that. But I see a lot of people who don't have any respect for themselves. And we all know this. Some of the things they do to their body and some of the things they do to their lifestyle lets me know that they don't respect their... You know, the Bible talks about this is the tabernacle of God. This is the temple of God. And we're supposed to not defile it and keep it holy unto the Lord. So when, in other words, we put away childish things. And then also, and this scripture here means so very much to me, especially when somebody asked me a really hard, thought-provoking question that I can't answer. I said, well, you know, we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now that particular verse right there could open up a whole Bible study, probably a seminar for weeks and weeks and weeks, because that thing is loaded with thought-provoking things that you could dissect and analyze and even get into part, well, how will I look in heaven? Who will I know in heaven? And this, that, and the other. But we're not into that particular part tonight. But this, the Apostle Paul says, basically, he's talking about all these things that, basically, what he's comparing them to is childish things. If we vaunt ourselves, if we become a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass or behaves this way, that way, it's childish. But we're putting away those childish things. And then in closing, in verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But what do you think the greatest is? According to the Apostle Paul in the Word of God, charity or love. Love. Faith is wonderful. It's great. Hope. Hope is eternal. But love never faileth. Never faileth. Always love. Love your life. Love your wife, love your husband, love your family, but most of all, love God. Because if you don't love God, it's going to be real difficult trying to love anything else. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And we love you so very much. Special thanks to Brother Jim and Brother Tony for, if you haven't had a chance to go out and look at the lights, now we have LEDs in the restrooms and the kitchenette, and also in the Curtis Center itself, LED lights up there. And Brother Thomas, thank you for having, and I've got the invoice here too, don't let me forget to give you that, for having that rented scissor lift for us. Amen. Would you stand? Give you an opportunity if you need prayer tonight. Certainly this altar is open. We'll never want to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity to pray. Or to receive prayer for anyone else. I do think we need to see the men for just a few minutes. Sister Penny got another quote on the paint, and we need to make a decision because we got like three different quotes. So we need to go ahead and tell one of them which one we're going to use so they can be ready to get things done. And I really think that's going to really look good when we get all this done. It's going to be replacing some foot molding this week. This looks good up here. Looks real good. The baptistry, we're getting a price on that. It's not going to be gold anymore, so it's going to be white to match with the rest of the decor. So let's just give the Lord a hand. Can we do that? Brother Jim, would you come dismiss us with a word of prayer? May God bless you. We love you. Amen.
Yes, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. I always say that. Let's love him. There's no way you can read that chapter without, to me, just feeling enlightened and just feeling lifted up to know that, you know, that is a direction. But how much does God love us?
Amen.
How much? Absolutely. How much? And as so many times I can say, as I look in the mirror, even me, sure. Just praise the Lord tonight. All hearts and minds clear. Well, again, hope the rest of your Valentine's evening is wonderful. Thank you again, as Brother Eddie said, for being with us tonight. And with this prayer, then, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to pull up to your table, to Lord, to feast on your mighty word. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and grace that you've shown each and every one of us. Yes. Lord, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. Lord, may you just protect those that are here tonight as they prepare to journey home. Lord, may each and every family be blessed. But, Lord, for those that aren't with us tonight, Lord, may you just continue to reach out to them. Lord, whether they're sick, shut in, taking care of their loved ones, whatever situation is, dear Lord, we just place each and every one in your hand, those that are sick and shut in. But, dear Lord, again, we just thank you for blessing this church. Lord, you have blessed us so much, dear Lord, not only with a beautiful sanctuary, with this property that we're on, but, dear Lord, with wonderful, loving members, dear Lord, and those that are here, dear Lord. May every visitor that enters these doors, dear Lord, feel your love. And, Lord, may we put you first in all that we do. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. And, Lord, in Jesus' most precious name, we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.